This is a free download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts. Call 08459 455 555.
Now, BBC Three Counties Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, joined by not just a radio legend... No, he's just a radio legend. No, you, Tony Blackburn, you smell fantastic.
Yeah, Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Jean-Paul Gaultier. Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Do I smell great?
You smell wonderful.
I make the effort for you, particularly on these mornings. You know, I was very glad when I got invited in, because otherwise that would have all gone to waste.
Well, listen, it's so nice to have you in. The reason we're doing this is you popped in the other week because we were playing some of your songs. And by the way, Chop Chop is now the anthem of this show.
Yep.
Timbo. And we thought it would be nice. We thought it would be nice if you came in and had a proper if we had a proper chat with you, because you work everywhere, you work on so many different stations, on the BBC, on commercial, all over the place, but I don't really know anything about you, Tony, and I don't know if people do know anything about you.
Can I just, before we get into this chat,
just
say that, being a music man, I've listened to your show for a long time now,
yes,
and never had any complaints. Can I make one complaint this morning? Would that be all right if I made just one
please
complaint?
Please do, go on.
Yeah, and I know you like me, don't like getting criticism, because there are loads of people up there that tell you can't do this, you can't do that.
The suits.
And you tell them basically to, you know...
jog on,
and that's fine. This morning I was enjoying You Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones, and suddenly, right in the middle of it, you went to a damn report, a motorway report. What is more important at this time of the morning? People, all right, traffic jams, or coming to the end of the Rolling Stones.
Do you know whose fault that was?
Who was that?
Catherine Ball, the producer.
No.
I had the timing perfectly. We were about to go into travel, and she said, you've got to play a song.
Well...
So, oh, come on, guys. We all know how it goes.
Again?
There's no one left. That's a beg me.
No, I'd take that back.
I'm going to... Put your headphones on. Yeah. Justin's on the line as well. Morning, Just.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Now, both of us, genuinely, we got very excited by this.
Mm.
So I'm going to leave your line open, Just.
Fine.
And you can chip in whatever you want. Tony, tell you what, can I just throw some names at you, first of all? Because I'm guessing you've worked with everyone.
Yeah.
And just whatever pops into your head.
Yep.
The Beatles.
The Beatles. Well, I saw the Beatles.
Yeah.
I worked with on Top of the Pops. I've met, Paul McCartney. I've interviewed Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Very nice man. And I saw them for the very first time in Bournemouth in 1960-something or other.
Yeah.
At a place that is now a car park. it was the Winter Gardens.
All of these old venues are car parks.
They
now,
are car parks.
Or Lidl's or something.
Well, at least they're useful, aren't they?
What was McCartney like?
Very nice.
Really?
I wrote to him in an email when I worked for another radio station, asking him for money. Because I reckon over the years I've played loads and loads of their records, and they owe me around about $1.5 million.
Wowzers. And when's that cash coming through?
Well, he didn't reply.
Hey.
Yeah, and I mentioned it to him on the interview, and he said to me, he said, I didn't get your email. So I said, well, if I emailed you again, would that make any difference? And he said, no.
What's his email? paulmccartney@yahoo.co.uk
something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Kenny Everett.
Kenny Everett, yeah.
Yeah, and what was he like?
Kenny was very, very odd. But he was lovely. Lovely man.
Was he hard work? Because I imagine that people like that, and he was brilliant.
Yeah.
But I imagine people like that can be a bit annoying at times, can't they? Just relentless and full on.
He wasn't really annoying. Very shy man. Very, very shy person. And we fell out a little bit, to be honest with you, in 1967. We read in the New Musical Express that we didn't like one another.
Oh.
And which was not true. And he thought that was true, and I tried to make up with him. And then one day we went out with my agent, and it was her 60th birthday, and he loved my wife, Debbie, and he liked her very much indeed. And he spilt some red wine over himself, and he blamed me for it. He said, you did that on purpose. And my wife said, no, he didn't. And he gave me a big kiss, and we made up.
Wow.
And that was about 2 years before he passed away.
Oh, man. Because he was brilliant, wasn't he?
A little bit boring or not?
No, this is great. I'm loving it. Yeah. Honestly, this is great. He was brilliant, wasn't he? I'm trying to think, there aren't any mavericks like him.
No, he was great.
Anymore.
Yeah.
People who are trying to do something a little bit different.
Yes, absolutely.
Pirate Radio. How did you get into that?
I loved it. Read an article in the New Musical Express wanting disc jockeys, just applied for the job.
But what were you doing before that?
I was a singer and a musician in a dance band in Bournemouth. At the Bournemouth Pavilion Ballrooms.
Right.
And also studying, I've got a diploma in business studies.
Sorry?
I was...
really?
Yeah. I'm not as sick as you thought I was.
So you got a diploma?
Yeah, yeah. HND, a High National Diploma in Business.
Flip
law and economics and things like that.
So you're a brain box.
Yeah.
But so, okay, so you're a singer in a band. What instrument were you playing?
Guitar.
Okay. And when was this? Sort of 64?
60, no, this was 1960.
Oh, okay.
60, 70 and 80, yeah.
And who were your...
No, not 60, 70, 80. 60, 61, 62, and then I joined Radio Caroline.
Okay, so who were your influences musically then, when you were in a band?
Elvis Presley.
Really?
Yeah, Elvis Presley. I not only look like him, but I sound like him very much. In fact, I think I like to think he was influenced a little bit by some of my early recordings.
Well, have some.
That's what I like to think. And Bobby V as well.
Bobby V.
Bobby V.
What did Bobby V sing? Blue Velvet. What was? No,
Bobby V sang "The Night Has a Thousand Eyes" and things like that. Yeah.
And so you were doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you just saw an advert saying, "Oh, we want DJs."
Yes.
And you just went
and
for it?
I applied for it, yeah.
What did you have to do in the audition?
I had to introduce four records.
Yeah.
And they were all... I introduced four Beatles records for some reason.
Okay.
And then I went up to Caroline House and I got the job on the Friday and I was on the ship on the Wednesday.
And how long were you out at sea for? How long were the chunks?
We did 2 weeks on and a week off. And so it worked out 9 months a year at sea.
It sounds awful.
It was lovely. It was great.
What were the conditions like? What was your room like?
It was a very small little cabin.
Yeah.
And, we had it, and it was great. Great out there. I loved it.
Who were you sharing with?
I was sharing with somebody that...
We can't mention anymore.
Well, it's a little tricky, yes.
Okay, yeah.
And then I shared my cabin with another person that we can't mention very well.
Denning and Saville, I'm assuming. Was it Chris Denning and Saville? Were they the...
No, Chris Denning and somebody starts is with D.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. Okay. Well, we can half mention him.
Yes. No, Saville wasn't out on the ship.
Saville didn't go out on the ship, but Denning was, of course. And I've got to ask, it must be weird, and we don't need to go into specifics.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
But these people that you have worked with,
yes,
getting their horrible pasts coming up. That must be really odd for you to
Very
see
odd.
That happen.
And the only problem with it is, of course, we're all tarred with the same brush a little bit from that era, so everybody waits for you. You know, it's crazy. Mm. Yeah, it's
lots
crazy.
Of episodes of Top of the Pops that can never be shown again.
Well, that's true. Yes.
Here's a question, Gary Glitter. Okay.
Yeah.
We won't dwell on this too much. We'll get back
Gary
to the fun
Glitter,
stuff.
Yes.
I was a big Gary Glitter fan, huge Gary Glitter fan, and I saw him in concert, and I met him, and what's coming out is obviously horrible. But musical history is being rewritten. Mm-hmm. And if you have a top 10 countdown from 1975, for example, on Radio 2, the host will say, we'll just skip number 9 if it was Gary Glitter. Yes. Do you want to touch? They'll just skip it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think we should erase him completely from musical history?
Well, it's difficult because he was so much a big part of it, wasn't he? And also, those songs that he made were terrific for disco dancing and things. Just great songs. I mean, they all sounded the same, rather.
Yeah.
But he was a great, great showman, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I was doing Junior Choice at the time, he was a guest on the programme. And it's just tragic.
Yeah.
You know, people who do those sort of things, well, you know, it's awful. And but it didn't... The thing is that all these people now, it doesn't reflect what it was like in the
60s. No.
Because Radio 1, when I went there, it was a beautifully run station. The people were great.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things. So it wasn't all like that. It was,
no.
It just wasn't.
Justin.
Yes, boss.
You've taken this to the streets, haven't you?
I have. I've spent the last hour talking to Tony Blackburn fans. Boy, they
Did
are special.
Did you find any?
Oh, yes, we found them.
Oh,
we've got four questions here coming up for you.
Yeah.
They get weirder. And we also have a German perspective as part
German
of these questions.
Perspective.
Yes, that is a social question for you.
Yeah.
But question number one, we've kind of touched upon it already, but there's a nice compliment in here as well for you. So take a listen to question one. Tim, you're a huge Three Counties fan. Listen to Ian every morning. Also, Tony's show. What is your question to the main man, Tony Blackburn?
What made you do it?
What do you mean by that?
What got you into it in the first place? How did you start?
When you hear his voice on the radio, what does it do to you? Because when I hear it, straight away, it lifts me. What does it do to you?
Yeah, it's very commanding. It's got
commanding.
A presence. It It demands your attention.
You're very commanding.
Very commanding.
Very commanding.
Yes, very.
Is this from the German?
I don't think that was the German.
The German perspective is coming, Tony.
Oh, I see.
At what point, Tony? Because obviously you were a singer and you released some singles, and then you became a. What point did kind of DJing take over and you go, actually, this is what I'm going to do?
Right from the word go.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
Why?
You know what it's like. You sit down in front of a microphone and it's just fun. It's just absolute fun, and I enjoyed talking nonsense.
I ended up doing this job by accident. If I'm completely honest, I ended up doing this job because I couldn't get any more TV work. And,
really?
Yeah, and then I was offered a gig at LBC, a London station, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay. It turned out I really, really enjoyed it, and I'm half decent at it. I think I can kind of just about
put
it off.
You're very good at it.
Well, but may God bless you, sir. But it seems an odd career to want to follow. I love it now I'm doing it.
And,
but I prefer it over TV. I prefer it over anything else. But it is just messing around, isn't it?
It is. It's messing around. I mean, there are certain stations where you can't do it, and most of the commercial stations won't let you be a personality anymore, unfortunately. Yeah. But BBC were lucky, you know, that people let us get on with it. And there are always people who want to change what you do. And I think the best thing to do, and if I was running a station, I'd say, if you hire somebody for what you do, let them do it. And don't mess around, and don't tell somebody you can't do something.
How did you get the gig from doing pirate radio?
Yeah.
You were considered to be like pop stars as well, weren't you?
The DJs
in pirate radio.
Is it true
that there would be girls waiting at his eyes bulged. You tell me what you want to tell me. That there will be girls waiting at shore for you when you had your little breaks off.
Not
of the
in
ship.
My case.
Really? Oh, come on.
Fella. Yes, of course you did. Yes, yeah, there were lots of people. We were built up in those days like pop stars. They didn't know people didn't know what we looked like in those days, of course, until we got on television at Radio 1. But yes, with Radio 1, and it was massive. I mean, we were built up like the pop stars.
And what you were doing was revolutionary because there was, you know, people, there are 1,000, you can turn on a digital radio, there are 1,000 music stations. Mm. But before the pirate stations, there was nothing. Well, there was the home service or...
The light programme. The home service and Radio 3. I started off on the light programme. With a programme I used to be on for 3/4 of an hour every week.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought that was too long. And it was called Midday Spin.
And what did you play on Midday Spin?
Well, I played pop records.
Yeah.
It was really a tryout for opening up Radio 1. That's what it really was. You know, I had a terrific manager called Harold Davison, who handled Frank Sinatra and all those people.
Wow.
And when the ships were coming to an end, I was introduced to him by a guy called Tony Windsor, who was a head disc jockey on Big L Radio London.
Yeah.
And Harold said to me, he said, I think the time has come to come off the ships. I'd love to manage you, and I'll make you the top disc jockey in 3 months. And I said, well, that would be lovely. And he did it in 2 months.
Wow.
Because he said there's a radio station called Radio 1 opening up and the BBC...
Hold that thought. Yeah. I've got to do business, as you know. Justin, this is good, isn't it?
It's great. It's fantastic. You never hear Tony talking like
this.
No,
you never do at all. Justin, stay there. Tony, stay there. I've got to do a little bit of business.
Travel news for beds, cards and bugs.
We're talking about Sky News, dear listeners. Tony and I both appeared on there reviewing the papers, and it depends what producer you've got as to whether you can do the kind of light-hearted stuff.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Or some go, but we want something a little bit heavier, a little bit heavier.
Yes,
please.
Yeah. I think when you wake up in the morning, you want to have fun. Don't you think so? You don't want to be bogged down in the press.
Not everybody thinks that, judging by the emails and the texts that we get to this show. Biggers is on the line. Morning, Biggers.
Hello, me old Mac and me old fruit, me old China.
Hello, boss. You're through to Tony Blackburn.
Oh, the legend that is, yeah?
Yeah, what you got for him?
I've got a two-part question, if it's okay with Tony. What's his favourite... has he got a favourite, you know, artist or group or whatever band that he's ever met? And has he ever met the King?
No, I haven't. I haven't met Elvis. My favourite artist is Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Love Marvin Gaye.
He's a legend as well.
And I love Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Who?
Frankie Beverly and Maze.
I don't know who that is.
Maze. Joy and Pain. Joy and Pain.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that one?
Yeah, I do know that one.
Thank you, Biggers. You know that one, do you, Kath?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
Well, see, he just sang it perfectly well.
Love is the key. Yeah, loads of them.
Speaking of foreign languages, did you ever meet Marvin Gaye?
No. He's the only Motown act I've never met.
Really?
I've toured with Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Do you mean you've toured with her?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I did a national tour with Diana Ross and the Supremes.
What, you singing or you could compare?
No, I wasn't singing.
No, okay.
I wouldn't want to sing with... I was comparing.
She was hard work, wasn't she? She was a bit of a diva, wasn't she?
She was all right. I found her all right, yeah. I mean, she's once again, a very shy person. You know, she wears those big dark glasses now. Yeah. She's apparently disappearing behind them now every time she comes to the country.
Yeah.
They get bigger and bigger.
Smokey Robinson?
Smokey Robinson. I met him this summer, actually.
Yeah.
He's got the most amazing piercing eyes.
He has, hasn't he? That's the thing.
He's lovely.
The Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys?
Met the Beach Boys?
Yeah, I met the Beach
what
Boys.
What were they
like? Fabulous. Yeah, fabulous. I've always found the only person I didn't like was Frankie Valli.
Oh, why? What was Frankie Valli?
He was a little so-and-so. I went up to him at Radio 2. At Radio 2, this was a couple of years ago, and the very first record I played was Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons of Big Girls Don't Cry. No, sorry, Ragdoll.
Ragdoll, yeah.
So I went up to him and I said, hello, Mr. Valli. I said, my name's Tony Blackburn. I said, I work here at Radio 2. And I said, the very first record I played was yours, Big Girls Don't Cry. And he couldn't have given a damn.
Really?
He just turned his back. I thought, a little sod. I felt like kicking him in the nuts.
Oh! Oh, what?
Well, I wish I had. He was the right height.
He's wee, isn't he?
He's
wee.
Small.
Justin, you got another question for us? Question two, please.
Some of these questions are very bizarre, but it leads on nicely from what you were saying there about Frankie Valli and what you wanted to do to him.
Yeah.
Here is question number two.
Mandy, how are you today?
I'm good.
Okay, you have a very important question for Tony. What's your question?
Do you even wear underpants?
Do I what?
I think, knowing Tony, I think he probably does wear underpants.
Do I wear underpants? Yes, I do.
Do you wear underpants, Tony, or do you go commando?
No, I wear underpants.
Why fronts, boxers, trunks? What have you got?
I've got, I don't know what they are, sort of like a trunk sort of thing. They're very, very good support. have to be. I've got a very nice pair of Superman shorts as well, which I wear sometimes.
Well, we've seen you in your onesies.
Oh, yeah, the onesies.
He's constantly wandering around the office in animal one. Which ones have you got?
Oh, I've got a tiger one, I've got a Superman one, Batman one. I got everything. I love onesies. I think they're great.
Speaking of pants, Alan's on the line. Morning, Alan.
Morning. How are you, Tony?
Oh, very well, thanks.
You are an absolute legend. In the 80s, I used to follow you around. You used to work for Radio London, didn't you, with Steve Walsh?
I still
do. You actually come to Dunstable, didn't you, in the Crown in Dunstable on a Tuesday, Wednesday night.
He's hardly going to remember the exact night that he did it, Alan.
Yeah, it was a Wednesday night.
It was about. I was on the stage about midnight.
What made me laugh? We was at the Hammersmith Palais with my girlfriend, and you actually stripped down your underpants, which really made me laugh.
Bit turn you on a little bit, did it?
My girlfriend at the time actually said, "Can you go and get some underpants, like Tony?"
Why did you do that, Tony?
I just like to.
Talking about Maze, because I like Maze as well. I actually see Maze and Frankie Beverly in the Anaheim Stadium in Los Angeles.
Really?
And what really made me laugh, what really made me thingy, I was the only white guy there.
Well, that is a strange thing, isn't it? He does attract the wider audience a little bit more. Did you ever come to the National Club Kilburn? I used to do every Christmas, and I might do it again this year, actually, the erotic balloon dance.
I followed you around for two seasons because I even remember you done the Dole Soul night out of the Hammersmith Palais.
Yeah.
And the only way you get a ticket is if you've got a Dole card. I had to go and borrow my mate's Dole card so I can go get a ticket.
I don't remember that.
Alan's a bit of a stalker. We'll pass it. Alan, thank you. We're going to pass your details on to the police. You did the balloon dance.
Hey, pass them on to me. I need all the stalkers I can get nowadays.
So the Radio 1 gig, the Pirates, they kind of managed to sort of close them down or make them almost redundant.
Yes.
Radio 1. Was it breakfast you were doing on Radio 1?
Yeah, breakfast show. I did the first breakfast show.
That must have been... because the eyes of the world were on that,
weren't they? 20 million audience every morning, you know. It was eye-boggling, really.
Flipping heck.
Yeah, but there was nothing else to listen to. Really.
Yeah.
You know, there were no commercial radio, no local BBC stations in those days. There was just Radio 2, which, funnily enough, in those days, it wasn't the biggest one. It is now, of course. Yeah.
Well, how long did you do The Breakfast Show for?
5 years. Then, annoyingly, Noel Edmonds appeared.
People forget that he was big on the radio as well.
Yeah. He was, and very, very good as well, you know.
How long did you stay at Radio 1 for? At what point?
17
did you get,
years.
Did you get booted out or did you leave?
I sort of got booted out, really.
Right.
When your contract isn't renewed, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I found out from the commissioner at the BBC. I went in one morning.
The fella on the door?
Yeah, and he said to me, oh, Tony, we are going to miss you. And I didn't know anything about it.
That's terrible.
Well, at least I knew then.
And it is part of the business. People come in and out of fashion. And the last job I left was Absolute. And the fella said, we're not going to renew your contract. And I shook his hand and thanked him for the opportunity and walked out and had a little cry. And that's kind of what it's,
happens.
What it is.
The main thing is not to get into an argument with somebody who sacks you, because eventually they re-employ you again. It's happened to me over and over
again.
It
all goes in a cycle.
Yeah.
You became, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, did become a bit of a joke for a while with the whole smashy nicey thing. That must have been quite tough. Was that tough for you?
Not really, because I think the thing is that I used to get terrific audiences on Radio 1, but nobody liked me. And you have these evaluation figures. You get terrific figures, but everybody's irritated by you. It's changed round now a little bit. And so people have sort of got used to me now.
But don't get many figures.
They do. Yeah, no. Actually, I'm very lucky. I luckily get the figures as well now on Radio 2, which is lucky. No, I think what it is that I used to go out there as a young guy at 24, 25, stand on a stage and say, I'll stand here a moment and let you admire me. Now, I was joking. Now I do it, and they see, I've practically fallen apart. You know, it's practically a dead man walking. And you sort of... and they get the joke. But I've never taken myself seriously, you see.
Justin, the dog was Arnold, I think. Was it Arnold?
Arnold the dog,
Arnold the dog?
Well, Arnold the dog, yeah. He's dead, unfortunately, but I've had him stuffed, and he's nodding in the back of the car.
Did you mount him?
I've never No.
Catherine, you're waving your hand.
Yeah, I've got a text here from Ev in Luton who claims, and I want you to verify this for me, he saw you at Kilburn and you stopped Stevie Wonder walking off the stage.
On the very first, it was my idea, the Soul Nights Out, and the very first night, Stevie Wonder turned up out of the blue. And Dave Pearce, who was the guy who was in charge of getting the acts on and off, he came onto the stage and he said to me, he said, Stevie Wonder's turned up. He came on to thank me for playing Motown records. Wow. And he said he'd like to come on and sing. And I said, fabulous. And I did do a number with him.
Did you sing with Stevie
Wonder? Yeah,
yeah. What did you sing?
I can't remember now.
But he wasn't going to walk off the stage and you saved his life?
No.
That didn't happen?
No, no.
Okay.
No.
Dilly Wilkes
came on and sang and then he went off.
Do you remember what he sang with him?
I can't remember, actually, but he was slightly out of tune.
He made you look bad.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Exactly.
Justin, question number three, please.
Yeah, all about the length, and this one's quite a good one, actually. Here is question number three.
Oh, dear.
Anne, you are a huge Tony Blackburn fan, aren't you? What is your question for the T-Dog back in our studio?
What's the longest song you've ever played?
The longest song?
What's that?
The MacArthur part. That's quite a long song.
What's the longest song?
Richard Harris.
Song
we'll put the question
played.
Well, I've got a record.
And I think we'll also ask him, was there a reason that he played a long song? Was he feeling unwell?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
What's the longest song you've ever played, Tony? Was it so you could nip out for a wee or something?
No, that one is always for, let me see, it's Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody, which is a very, very good record. It's a very long record. And I actually told, who's the singer?
Freddie Mercury.
Not Freddie Mercury.
Brian May.
Brian May, that's right. My wife's very friendly with his wife, and I told Brian May that I'd never heard the record because I use it to go out and have a wee, which is true because I don't like Bohemian Rhapsody very much.
I don't like Bohemian Rhapsody, and it's always voted the number one
rubbish song. Rubbish record. No, it's not a rubbish record. It's a silly thing to say that.
How old are you now? 73?
72.
72?
Yeah.
That you're working probably, I would imagine, in terms of radio shows you do, more than you have ever done.
Yeah, I'm doing quite a few, and I love it. Yeah.
Kelly,
the longest record, by the way, Crown.
Yeah. Oh, Gary Bird.
Yeah, Gary Bird. It goes over 12 minutes.
Tell me, Tony Blackburn was talking to you once about the stations he was working at, and...
Yeah, you were listing all the stations that you worked for, and I think you got to about five, and you couldn't remember the sixth one. You were like, what, where is it? And I said, is it this one where you're standing? And you were like, yeah.
Did you ever?
This is the most important one.
God bless you. You must have never thought that you'd be working this much at 72, 73.
No, not really.
You going to quit?
No. I couldn't bear the thought of retiring. No.
We want to hope that fade is open when you croak it.
Wow.
No, it's what he would have wanted.
That's an awful thing to say, but in a strange sort of way, it's very flattering.
We got time for the very last question, Justin. Yeah. Shall I just press play?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Let's get the German perspective. Jürgen, also a big Tony Blackburn fan, half a century as a broadcaster. What is your question to Tony Blackburn?
How do you think the society in England has changed over the last 20 years?
20 years?
Or 10 years? 5 years?
20, 10 or 5? Okay, we'll put that question to him. Thank you very much.
Okay.
It's a great German perspective.
How has the society changed in the last 5, 10 or 20 years?
That's deep, isn't it? Why are all Germans called Jürgen? I think probably we're not as kind to one another, and we don't have the as we used to be. I think that's it. And we don't respect one another quite as much. It's a shame. I think
you are on. What do you think? You probably know what time you're on this station, do you? What time is it on? 9 o'clock on Saturday.
9 o'clock on Sunday.
On Sundays.
Yes,
Tony. It's been you're such a nice person.
Oh, thank you very much.
Justin and I
do it again, boss. We've got to do this again.
Any time we have been 15-year-old fanboys. Literally, I can't believe he's going to come in. I can't believe we're going to have a proper chat with him. Tony, it's such a pleasure to work with you, boss.
Thank you, Ian.
You're a legend.
Thanks for listening to this free download from BBC Three Counties Radio, your local radio station for Beds, Hearts and Bucks on FM, AM, digital radio and online at bbc.co.uk/threecounties.